lives. Let's pray. Father, we thank you now and praise you for your goodness and mercy. Lord, we just bless you today. We thank you for what you've done and what you're going to do. We thank you, Lord God, that you have raised up new generation to be a lighthouse shining in the darkness. And we thank you, Lord God, that you have drawn us together and made us a great company of believers. And Lord God, we look to you today that you pour your fresh anointing upon us, that, Lord, you stir us, you give us strength and boldness and courage. And Lord, we just thank you today for speaking into our hearts. And I pray for each and every ear to be open to hear, every mind receptive, every heart receiving. And Lord, we set ourselves to be good ground today, to hear this word, to receive this word, and to be doers of the word. And Lord, I thank you for granting me utterance that I can speak accurately this truth, and that truth that goes forth shall set them free. And we just praise you now, give you glory, and receive these things done in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. Praise God. We're going to begin today in Ephesians chapter 5. We're going to look at a few things. I actually read it to you in a couple of different translations here too. But because we're talking today about following the Lord, serving the Lord, pressing on with the Lord. In Ephesians 5:1, I read out the New King James, or the King James reads similar. But anyway, it says in Ephesians 5:1, Paul writing to the church. So he's not writing to sinners, he's writing to believers. Amen. You've got to get a hold of that. So he's speaking to you and me. And he says, therefore, be imitators of God as dear children. I like that. Amen. The Amplified Classic says it this way. Therefore, be imitators of God. Then it amplifies and says, copy him and follow his example as well-beloved children imitate their father. That's good news, isn't it? Amen. Follow God, imitate God, and copy him and follow his example. I like that. Praise God. How about the Message Bible? It says, watch what God does and then you do it. Hallelujah. That makes it pretty plain, doesn't it? Amen. So watch what God does, then you do it, like children who learn proper behavior from their parents. That's powerful, isn't it? Amen. And so you would say, well, I don't know what you're getting at. Well, in 2 Corinthians 5:17, the Bible says, therefore, if any man be in Christ, he's a new creation. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things have become new. And verse 18 says, and all things are from God who hath reconciled us unto himself. Amen. So God has reconciled us, made us a new creation, a brand new person that never existed before. When you made Jesus Lord, God took out the old heart, put a new heart, took you out of the family of darkness and put you in the family of God. Amen. The devil ceased to be your Lord and Jesus became your Lord. And you received the nature of God on the inside of you. Hallelujah. In fact, in Romans 8:15-16, the Bible says, we have not received the spirit of bondage again to fear, but we have received the spirit of adoption, whereby we cry out, Abba, Father. Hallelujah. God reached down and plucked us out of the devil's hold and brought us over and just adopted us and placed us in his family. And now we're children of God. Amen. Glory to God. The Bible goes on and says, the Holy Spirit himself bears witness with our spirit that we're children of God. Amen. And so today, I want to challenge you. We're children of God. We're to imitate God. We're to act like God. We're to do what God does. We're to watch how God does it and then do it too. Amen? Somebody said, oh, I wouldn't go there. That's because you haven't learned anything yet. You're still living like you used to be. But you got to start living like who you are now in Christ Jesus. Amen? See, in Ephesians 4, the Apostle Paul began in verse 17. We won't read it, but down to about verse 24. And he says this. He basically says, you need to put off that old man. You need to get rid of that old lifestyle, that old conduct, and get renewed in the spirit of your mind. You know what he's talking about? Change the way you see yourself. Change the way you think about yourself. Begin to put on this new creation in Christ Jesus. Clothe yourself. Put on this new man created in righteousness and true holiness. See, you and I have to put these things on. We have to walk in this because God has called us out of darkness into his light. God has called us to live our life like he would. In other words, however the Lord did it, we should do it. Amen. See, I tell everybody all the time whenever I get a chance to minister with them, talk to them, whatever. I tell them, just don't read Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John for the doctrine. Read it and watch the lifestyle of Jesus. See, learn not only what he taught, but learn how he lived. Amen? Because the Lord Jesus Christ came to this earth to be an example as well as our redemptive sacrifice, praise God. And so the Lord shows us how to deal with tough times. He shows us how to celebrate. He shows us how to walk in obedience to the Father. Amen? And so we learn that. And so here the Apostle Paul writing to the Ephesians Christians who are born again, spirit-filled, hallelujah, And he's telling them, now that you're a child of God, what you need to do is you need to put on this new life, begin to live this new life, begin to change the way you see things and the way you think and what you do. And then you need to learn how to imitate and copy God. In other words, just watch what God does and do it too. Amen. The world is waiting on the Christians to start acting like Christians. Hallelujah. They're waiting on us to live this thing, praise God. And you know, that's the thing that stirred the early church. I mean, you get to reading the book of Acts and you'll find out those folks, blessed be God, they not only got a hold of the doctrine of the apostles, they stayed in it and they lived in it. And they took it to the house with them. They took it to the marketplace with them. They took it out here to other places. Everywhere they went, it wasn't a hard thing to discover or to tell who was a Christian. Amen? And so you and I need to do this. So the Lord has called us to live this victorious life. We're to be more than conquerors through Christ Jesus. We're to be world overcomers. We're to have a faith that calls us to walk in victory. Amen? In fact, if you're going to live this life and copy the Lord and do it His way, you're going to have to do it by faith. Amen? Somebody says, what do you mean have to do it by faith? Well, did you ever read Hebrews 11, verse 6? But without faith, it's impossible to please Him. So that means I have to have faith to please Him, doesn't it? Amen. Why? For he that cometh to God must believe that He is, and that He is a rewarder of them that diligently seek Him. Hallelujah. So a faith in God separates me from the rest of the world, because I believe in every situation that if I take this to God, He's going to be there for me. Why? Because He's not only my God, He's now my Father. Hallelujah. See, when you begin to renew yourself in the things of the Lord, in the Word of God, and you begin to do what the apostles are teaching us, then God stops being God sitting on a throne up in heaven somewhere, and God becomes your heavenly Father. In fact, Abba means Daddy. He comes into an intimate relationship with you, and you begin to operate as sons and daughters of an Almighty God. Hallelujah. And Jesus begins to be Lord over your life, and He begins to be your friend and your helper, and He's there to take care of you and be your Christ, the anointed one with the anointing in your life. Amen? And you see yourself now as a part of the family of God. I don't see myself. I stopped seeing this years ago. Many, many years ago. I don't ever see myself. I never, you know, I'm not an old sinner saved by grace. I was an old sinner, got saved by grace. Now I'm a new creation in Christ Jesus. Amen. I got delivered from the kingdom of darkness, and now I'm in the kingdom of God, and I've been placed under the authority of the Lord Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. He's my head, and I'm a part of Him, and He's a part of me. Amen. And so now I'm to live my life following the Lord, doing what He would have me to do. Praise God. In fact, in Ephesians chapter 2, verses 8 and 9, you start off by faith. Amen. For you're saved by grace through faith, that not of yourselves, not of works, lest anybody should boast. Amen. So you got saved by what? Having faith in the Lord and releasing that faith, praise God, and walking in that faith and serving God in faith and doing what He's called you to do. Hallelujah. Galatians 3:11 says, once you get saved by faith, the just shall live by faith. So now I'm going to live every day by faith. And I'm not just going to live by faith when I need it. Amen. The just shall live by faith. Doesn't say the just shall live by faith when he has a problem. No, he'll live by it. You ought to get up in the morning in faith. You ought to go to bed in faith. You ought to blink your eyes in faith. Hallelujah. Amen. Everything you do should be a faith walk and trusting God and setting yourself to live your life in a way that's pleasing to the Lord and that reveals the Lord Jesus to others. Praise God. Amen. And so we set ourselves to live this life, and we walk in this life. But in John chapter 16, verse 33, I'm actually going to read to you out of the Amplified. The Lord says this to the disciples. He says, I have told you these things so that in me you may have perfect peace and confidence. Amen. Why is the Lord teaching us the word? Why is this word comes forth? So that in the Lord you may have perfect peace and confidence. Amen. That's why the Lord wants you to live your life in Him. So that no matter what's going on around, you have perfect peace operating in your life. And you have confidence in God. Amen? But listen to what he says. In the world, you have tribulation and trials and distress and frustration. Anybody here had any tribulation? Anybody here had any trials come against you? Anybody had any distress come? Anybody gotten frustrated? See, he says, as long as you're living in this world, the world's going to come at you with these things. Amen? What am I supposed to do when the world comes at me with trials and tribulation, distress and frustration? But be of good cheer and take courage. Hallelujah. Woo, glory to God. Amen. Something different about us. Everybody else going, oh my God, what are we going to do? Wringing their hands. Where are we going? Woo, hallelujah. An opportunity to show that Jesus is Lord. Amen. And we have confidence in our God. Why? Because we didn't wait till the storm hit to try to build our house. We've been building our house on the Word of God from the day we made Jesus Lord. And we got it built on solid ground. And it's got a solid foundation. And Jesus Lord and the Word of God's working. The Holy Ghost in me. And I'm standing there. I'm ready for the storm when it comes my way. Amen? Because I'm walking in this. I'm living this. So the Lord says, but be of good cheer. In other words, have a good attitude even in bad times. Take courage, be confident, certain and undaunted. In other words, this ain't going to stop me from doing what God called me to do. I'm staying with the Lord. Amen. For I have overcome the world, Jesus says. Woo, hallelujah. What's he saying? Every one of these things that are trying to take you down, I've already defeated it. Oh, you didn't hear me because that was too weak of a response. Amen. The Lord is saying all these things that are causing tribulation and tests and trials and frustrations and coming against you, you can be of good cheer and of good courage because I have already defeated them for you. Hallelujah. Woo, glory to God. They can't whip you. You can whip them. Amen. Look what he goes on and finishes up by saying, I have deprived it of power to harm you and have conquered it for you. Glory to God. You see, you got to understand something, folks. You can't stop the devil from testing you, but you can stop him from winning. Amen? We're all going to have tests, and we're all going to have trials, and we're all going to have things coming against us to discourage us and defeat us and frustrate us. But blessed be God, Jesus has already defeated those things, and we can walk through those things victoriously, and we can walk through them with our head held high and with a praise on our lips. Amen? See, the Lord is calling us to put on this new life. Just don't be a Christian on Sunday morning. Be a Christian all the time. Hallelujah. Just don't be a word person when it's fun. Be a word person when it ain't fun. Amen? And act on the Word. Do what the Word says. Hallelujah. And like he said, be an imitator of the Lord Jesus Christ and see what he does and then you do it. Amen? Can I show you an example here? Look over in Mark chapter 11. And let me show you the example of the Lord Jesus. You want to deal with problems? I'm going to show you how to deal with problems. You want to be an overcomer? I'm going to show you how to be an overcomer. We're just going to follow the example of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen? What do you mean we're going to follow the example of the Lord Jesus Christ? We're going to follow his example because, you see, you got to understand something. Over in Hebrews chapter 4, the Bible says that Jesus Christ, in verse 15, was tempted with every kind of temptation, test, or trial that you and I are going to be faced with. But he overcome every one of them. And so he knows what we're going through. Amen? Because he's had to deal with it too. When he was here on this earth, from the moment he came up out of the water, the enemy began to try to defeat him. Jesus comes up out of the River Jordan and the Holy Ghost comes on him. The power of God hits him. The Lord leads him into the wilderness. He's there fasting and praying, getting himself ready to launch his ministry. And the first person shows up is the devil. Anybody here? You came to church, got set free, heard the word, and first person showed up when you got outside was the devil. He didn't mean you. It won't work for you. Look at what you did. Amen. And so he began to question the Lord. How did the Lord deal with it? See, that's what we need to learn. It's not what Jesse said, but how did he deal with it? Amen. Well, he dealt with it by speaking the word to it. Praise God. Now, here in Mark chapter 11 is another situation. The Lord, in verse chapter 11, you know, you have the great Palm Sunday. They come riding in and they're crying Hosanna. And Jesus in the evening goes into the temple, looks around, and then goes out to Bethany because he's tired. He's already getting late. And so, you know, he's got a purpose now. He's already seen the temple. He knows it's the will of God for him to go in there and clean it out. Run out the money changers, bring holiness and prayer back into the house of God. Amen. So the Lord knows his purpose. He knows what he's called to do. And so then in the verse 12, the Bible says, now the next day when they had come out from Bethany, he was hungry. Anybody here ever get up in the mornings and be a little hungry? Isn't that amazing? The Lord was hungry. Amen. Hadn't had breakfast. And he got a big deal. He's got to go into town and run off all those money changers, turn over those tables. I mean, you know, he's thinking, you know, it'd be good to have a little breakfast in me. I mean, thank God for the anointing, but, you know, the Spirit's willing, but the flesh sometimes can get real hungry. Hallelujah. And so, you know, he's walking along, and he realizes he's got some hunger pains. And seeing from afar a fig tree having leaves, he went to see if perhaps he would find something on it. But when he came to it, he found nothing but leaves, for it was not the season for figs. In response, now the King James says, and Jesus answering said unto it. Jesus answered it. Answered it. Jesus responded to it. And said, no man eat fruit of thee from here until ever again. Amen. Now, here's the thing I want you to get across. Jesus didn't initiate the conversation with the fig tree. He responded to it. That means it was talking to him. If you answer somebody, it's because they said something to you. Jesus answered the fig tree. He responded to it and answered it and spoke to it. He's holding a conversation with a fig tree. Why? Because that fig tree has distracted him. That fig tree has got him off his path. That fig tree lied to him and said, listen, come on over here. I got some figs. I'll feed you this morning. It'll be good. When he gets over there, the fig tree goes, gotcha. you missed it here, boy. Yeah. Come on. Amen. Anybody here ever been going along and you've got something to do and you know God's done and something happens to distract you or mislead or you made a bad choice or a bad decision or you thought it was something and you didn't? Amen? Yep. See, it could be like you're going someplace and you're in a hurry to get there and you know a shortcut. So you go up to the certain street and you make a right and you go down a couple of blocks and you turn left and there's all the streets all blocked off. No signs, nobody told you. Now, you're going to have an opportunity right now to get frustrated, aggravated, discouraged, throw up your hands, say some things you ought not. Amen? What are you going to do about that? What are you going to do whenever... See, Jesus hadn't sinned. He just got misled. Somebody says, that's Jesus you're talking about. Yeah, but Hebrews 4:15 says he was tempted, tested, and tried with everything that you and I are going to be tempted, tested, tried with. And yet without sin, so that he could have sympathy towards us and be a faithful high priest to us. Amen? In other words, the Lord had to allow himself to be put in a natural position and had to deal with it so that you and I could learn how we have to deal with our fig trees. Amen? What are you doing with that thing that's talking to you right now telling you ain't going to make it? What are you doing about that thing right now that's got you distracted and trying to frustrate you to keep you from doing what God called you to do and being who God called you to be? Because right now, the Lord Jesus is in that exact situation. He has a plan, He has a purpose, He has a mission from His Father, and that is to go into Jerusalem and set and clean that place up. And now here He is, standing here, off the path. He's not heading in town. He's not doing what he knows he's got to do because his flesh was a little hungry. He yielded to it, and the tree's lying to him. Amen. Now, Jesus could get upset. Jesus could turn to Peter and say, Peter, I can't believe you let me come over and do this. And blame the disciples. He could have gotten mad at God. Heavenly Father, I can't believe you let me come over here and make a fool of myself and try to find a tree. I don't know if I'm going to go into Jerusalem now or not, bless God. You know, that's flesh, folks. I mean, we got flesh. Jesus had flesh. That's why he's hungry. Amen. He's disappointed. Aggravation, disappointment, frustration is right there knocking on the door. Jesus is standing there before these disciples, and they're looking and listening as to see what he's going to do in the situation. People are watching us to see what we're going to do when things don't go right. When disappointment shows up. When something misleads us and gets us off the path. Are you going to lay over there and cry about it and whine about it and fuss about it? What are you going to do with it? I'll tell you what we should do. We should act just like Jesus did. Isn't that what the Apostle Paul said? Imitate God. See what the Lord did and do it like He did. Amen? So what did the Lord do? He gave it no place. In fact, he said, you got me once, you'll never get me again. Yes. He dealt with it. Yes. Are you listening to me? Jesus stood right there and spoke to that fig tree and said, no man will ever eat fruit from you ever again. In other words, you will never not only deceive me, you'll never deceive anybody. In fact, I break your power right now. You're not going to stop me. You're not going to keep me from doing what I've been called to do. I am going on and you're defeated. In other words, he didn't stay there one extra second. He turned right back around, goes into Jerusalem, cleans out the temple, and does exactly what he was called to do. Folks, I'm going to tell you, there are fig trees out there waiting to stop you from doing what God called you to do. And how you deal with that fig tree determines whether you accomplish the plan and will and purpose of God in your life. It's not the big things that always defeat us. It's the little things that we allow in. Solomon said, it's the little foxes that spoil the vine. And what you've got to understand is this. How you deal with a frustrating moment is going to determine whether or not you get the victory later on down the line. Amen. And notice here that the Bible says that in verse 14, that and the disciples heard him. You're going to have to get delivered from people's opinions of you. Amen. What Jesus is doing has nothing to do with everybody standing around him. This is between him and that tree. And either the tree is going to win or Jesus is going to win. The tree's going to accomplish what it meant to do, and that is to keep him hungry and frustrated and keep him from doing the will of God. Or Jesus is going to win, and he's going to break that thing, destroy that thing, stop it, and go on in and do what the Father called him to do. And so he don't care what anybody else thinks about him. He's not caring about what anybody else is going to do. Jesus is going to do what? 1 Timothy 6:12, Paul said to Timothy, he said, fight the good fight of faith. Lay hold on eternal life and hold fast your confession which you have confessed before many witnesses. You know what he's saying? Say the same thing in front of everybody. Come on, I'm a Christian in church. I'm a Christian on the job. I'm a Christian in my car. I'm a Christian down the store. I'm a Christian out running around. You got to live this thing, folks. You can't let anything. I was at the YMCA years ago over there playing basketball with some guys. And we had a good team that day, and was so the winners stay up. And we'd won three in a row. And I'm dripping wet, and I'm getting all this exercise in. And I go out to get a drink, and this guy comes up, and he goes, Pastor Hoffman? I said, yeah. Didn't look much like Pastor Hoffman. And he says, listen, I'm really having some physical problems right now, and I'm thinking about going. I was going to maybe go to the mercy room, and I'm just having this. But I saw you come over here, and I felt like the Lord said, "Have Pastor Upman lay hands on you and pray." And I believe if you'll lay hands on me and pray, I'll get healed. Now, if I lay hands on them, they're going to be wet hands because there's sweat dripping off of me. And I'm sitting there and I'm thinking, I've been playing basketball. I've been praying. I've been reading the Word. But you know what I did? I said, I am a minister of the gospel of the kingdom of God, no matter what's going on around me. You know, I laid hands on him, sweating off. Within just a few minutes, he had his hands up, praising God, worshiping the Lord, every symptom left. And he and his wife came to our church for the next year before they moved out of the town. Hallelujah. Glory to God. You see, you got to understand something, folks. You can't let fig trees stop you from doing what God's called you to be. You can't, and you can't worry about what people think about you. Hallelujah. Amen. You got to make up your mind. I was over there playing basketball. I'll give you another little story from playing basketball. I was over there and I came down on the guy's ankle and my ankle turned and I flopped right down on the floor and all of them ran over and said, we heard it pop. Oh my God, it's going to be some. I said, wait a minute. I ain't got time to play. I said, if you can agree with me, then stand here and agree. But if you can't, just turn your back and look away because I got to pray for my ankle right now and get it healed. And so some of them turned away because they didn't believe. Another two or three of them just watched, see what happened. I grabbed my ankle. I prayed in tongues. I prayed in the Spirit. I prayed in my understanding. I spoke the Word to it, lay there for about a few minutes, praying over it, ministering the Word of God to it. Praise God. I don't care what they think. It's my ankle. And if my faith don't work in a gym, it won't work in a pulpit. So I ministered to it, and then I acted on my faith, praise God. I got up, and I started walking around on it, and everybody started looking at me, and they was going, oh my God. And so I said, well, guys, listen, that's all I'm going to play today. I'm going to go ahead and take a shower and get on out. And that ankle healed up. I just had a little bruise on it, praise God. Well, I thought, I don't know what those fellas thought about me. But then I had a lady in the church, she worked for this one, and he was a doctor. And he'd been over there playing. And so it's about a month later, and she was in, and she mentioned she went to New Life. And he says, "Oh, is that Pastor, that Reverend Huffman?" She goes, "Yeah, that's my pastor." He said, "You know, the wildest thing I ever saw in my life." She said, well, he came down on that ankle and turned, and I'm sure as a doctor, he broke it, that thing popped, and it was he should have had that thing set and fixed, and I figured we'd have rushed him to the hospital. He made us pray with him or turn away, laid his hands on that ankle and prayed in some kind of language. And he said, "You know what's amazing?" He said, I watched him. I was curious. I wanted to see what was going on. He said, "I watched that ankle go back in place," and he got up and walked out of there, and I thought, my God. He said, "That's the wildest thing I ever saw in my life. Hallelujah." She said, "Y'all come to our church, you see more wild things." Hallelujah. Amen. Praise God. But folks, I'm going to tell you, you're going to have disappointments come your way. You're going to have little things come your way. Jesus said, in this world, you're going to have tests, you're going to have trials, you're going to have things that frustrate you. What are you going to do with the little fig trees that get you off the path? Are you going to stay over there and be defeated, or are you going to deal with it like Jesus did? I'm going to tell you what you do. You just turn to that thing, and you speak to it and say, "You fooled me once, but never again. I'll not fall for this ever again, and I rebuke you out of my life. You have no place in my life. Now I'm getting right back on the path. I'm going to go and do what God called me to do." Amen? I'm going to live my life in a way that's pleasing unto the Lord. Now, why is that so important? Because you drop down here in verse 20, in Mark 11, it says, "Now in the morning as they passed by, they saw the fig tree dried up from the roots." Woo! Notice the Lord didn't stay there to see if anything happened. He spoke to it and then went on into town and dealt with the stuff. Now, the next morning, they come by and the disciples see the fig tree dried up just like Jesus told it to do. And Peter, remembering, said to him, "Rabbi, look, the fig tree which you cursed has withered away." So Jesus answered and said to them, "Have faith in God." See, the Lord took what the devil meant for bad and made it an object lesson to teach them how to walk in faith with God. You know, if you'll just keep your eyes on the Lord and learn how to answer your bad situations, that it'll be a lesson to show you how to trust God and how to believe He is and how to walk in it. And it'll also be a testimony to others that Jesus is greater than that situation. Are you listening to me? But if you can't deal with a little thing, how are you ever going to deal with a big thing? If you allow a little distraction, somebody said something about you. Well, I ain't going to do that. People are all the time saying something about you. You just happen to hear something. Amen. All the time. I've had people say all kinds of things about me. Praise God. Amen. Just goes off of me like water off a duck's back. I ain't letting none of, you know, I tell everybody all the time, "Aren't you concerned about all that criticism?" I said, "No, I've been criticized and I've been persecuted by experts. Why should I let a little spurt bother me?" Amen. Huh? Glory to God. Well, that tree, fig tree, is a little spurt. Why am I going to let a little thing that got me off a little bit ruin the rest of my day and the rest of my week and keep me from doing what God called me to do? Amen? See, you're not perfect. You're not going to make every decision just right. And sometimes you're going to get off a little bit. But what you do is once you realize what's going on, how you answer is going to determine whether you get defeated or you get the victory. Your response is what puts you over or puts you under. The fig tree could not defeat Jesus because of his response. Are you listening to me? How he responded to that situation gave him complete and total victory over the situation. If he'd have fussed and complained, the fig tree would have won that situation and defeated him. Amen? You see, you got to understand something, folks. How we respond, how we answer, what we say, what we do in a situation when the enemy's trying to come in will determine whether or not we walk in victory. Amen? And so the apostles come to the Lord and they say, "Lord, the fig tree you cursed is withered away." And you know what the answer of the Lord is? He says, "Have faith in God." Meaning what? When you're in a bad situation, have faith in God. When you get off on the wrong path, have faith in God and get back on the path. Amen? Always keep your faith in God no matter what's going on around you. Because that's exactly why that test is coming against you, is to steal your faith and cause you to not trust in God and not believe He's able to get you through. Amen? But Jesus says, have faith in God. I like what the Amplified says. Have faith in God constantly. Hallelujah. Jesus had faith in his Father and in God when he got off the path and had to deal with the tree. Amen? Then he turns to him and he says this, "If you'll learn how to deal with the tree, I'll show you how to deal with the big mountain." Amen? He says, For surely I say to you that whosoever shall say to this mountain, be removed, be cast into the sea, and does not doubt in his heart, but believes those things which he says shall come to pass, he shall have whatever he says. You know what the Lord's saying? He's saying, listen to me, listen. If you'll learn to use your faith for the little things, your faith will be ready to take care of the big things. Amen? If you use your faith and speak the word to a disappointment, you can use your faith and speak the word to a problem that's going to come up that try to take you out. Amen? So what's the Lord saying to us today? He's saying, listen, we're all going to face tests and trials. We're all going to have fig trees talking to us, trying to get us off. And you know, being human, there's a possibility that we're going to go over and check it out. But when it proves that it is not right, what are you going to do? Are you going to get guilt, condemnation, frustration, aggravation, and fall away from God because you missed it? No, I'll tell you what you're going to do. You're going to say, Lord, I missed it here. This tree don't have nothing for me. I rebuke it in Jesus' name. I curse it. It'll never get my attention again. Lord, I thank you. I'm delivered from this. Now I'm going to get right back on the path and imitate my Father. Hallelujah. I'm going to do what Jesus did. I'm going to act like Jesus acted. I'm going to say what Jesus said, and I'm going to live my life like Jesus wants me to live it. Amen? See, that's what this teaching's all about, folks. That's faith in God. And then whenever you've dealt with a few fig trees, and that mountain pops up, you just look at it and go, I done dealt with a tree, I can deal with you. Amen? The enemy, and then all of a sudden you understand now why those little things was happening to you, because it was trying to get you in a place where when the mountain showed up, you wouldn't be able to handle it. But you guarded your heart, kept your eyes on the Lord, refused to get frustrated, didn't complain about it, just spoke your faith, walked away, and trusted God to take care of it. That's exactly what the Lord did. He spoke his faith. He didn't have to stand there and see if those leaves were going to turn. He'd given the command of faith, and he knew his Father was going to take care of it for him. Amen? And that's when he said, you have faith in God. Because you've got to believe that whenever you stand up against your situation and you speak to it, you don't have to stand there and watch and see if anything's happening. You've given a command of faith, and you know your Father in heaven is watching over you, and he's going to make that thing come to pass for you. Amen? And you're going to have what you say. Now, that's the truth, church. On this 26th anniversary, it's the truth. What you say is what you're going to get. You'll have whatsoever you say. That's why it's so important that we speak the word. Matthew 12:37, by your words you will be justified, or by your words you will be condemned. Your words are going to put you over or put you in. How you answer what's attacking you now is going to determine whether you win or lose. Because Jesus said, all those things that are attacking you, I've already overcome them. And I've deprived them of their ability to defeat you. And how you handle them and how you answer them is going to determine whether or not you fulfill what I've called you to do, or the enemy distracts you and keeps you off of it. I don't know about you, but I choose to have faith in God. Amen. I choose to refuse to let distractions, disappointments, aggravations stop me from walking in faith and living for my Lord and having a praise in my mouth. Amen. I'm going to stay focused on Jesus. I'm going to stay focused on the walk that God's called me to walk. And I'm going to tell you what, if I do get off the path, I'm going to deal with what got me off the path and get right back on the path. Hallelujah. Oh, Brother Hubman, you're giving people a license to sin. No, I'm giving you a license to defeat the enemy. Hallelujah. Because you're not perfect. I'm not perfect. Amen. You think you're perfect? Wait until you get to a stoplight sometime. It turns green. Somebody comes blowing their horn at you and almost hits you. You'll find out how perfect you are. I want to hear what you're going to say to it. Because you see, if you don't watch out, your flesh will rise up and you will have a few choice words for that person who went by. And if you don't deal with it right then, you'll go to the workplace or somewhere and you say, I can't tell you, I tell you these drivers, you wouldn't believe what. And you'll be frustrated all day long over something that happened to you that nobody even knows you and didn't know you was who and didn't mean to do it. He just went through. You may never see that person again in your life. But now it's controlling you. So what are you going to do? Speak to your fig tree. Answer it. How do you answer it? Praise God. You just say, Lord, bless him, help him, and help me. Hallelujah. And you say, Lord, I've been called to be a witness today, not be frustrated because somebody cut me off or somebody said something to me or I made a wrong turn someplace or I didn't do something just right. I'm not going to allow that to determine who I am. I'm going to walk in faith. I'm going to keep my eyes on God. I'm going to live this life. And Lord, I'm going to trust you to help me to respond to these little things the way I need to, so that when I come to my mountain, I'm ready to move it. Amen. I know that my God is going to get me through. Hallelujah. Somebody says, well, what if I speak to it, Pastor Ubben, and it doesn't just automatically move? Hebrews 4:14 says, holding fast our confession. Seeing then we have a great high priest who's passed in heaven, Jesus Christ, Son of God, let us hold fast our confession. What's that mean? Just keep answering it. You're not going to make it. Yeah, I am. You're frustrated. No, I'm not. You're late. That's okay. God will make up for it. See, every time that tree tries to talk to you, I'm going to answer it with the word. Hallelujah. I give you one final story. Joshua said, Dad, you tell stories. Well, after 47 years, I tell a lot of stories. Hallelujah. But anyway, this was back whenever I just finished college, Bible school. And we were driving back in the spring. My brother's running track, and I wanted to get back and watch him run track. And so we were driving a new car. Finally got a new car. Believe God and got a little Plymouth Arrow. Remember those? And so we're driving it back, and the oil light came on. I thought, Lord have mercy, it's a new car. My old 71 Ford Pinto, that oil light stayed on all the time. I sold it for junk and bought this car. Hallelujah. So we get out and look, and it's oil dripping out, and you know. And so I pull over, and we got us a hotel room, and it's about midnight. And I'm going to lay down there, and here's the thing hit my head. You're not going to make it. You're not going to see your brother run. In fact, they don't have the parts. You're going to be stuck right here in West Memphis, Arkansas. You're never going to get there. You're not going to do it. You're not going to do it. You're not going to do it. Anybody ever had the enemy hit you with all those kind of thoughts just like that? You ain't going to make it. You ain't going to make it. And so I'm laying there, and up out of my spirit, thank God you put the word in your heart. Amen? Because all faith is built upon the word of God. Not what you feel, not what you see, but what the word says. And up out of my spirit, I heard myself say this. But Philippians 4:19 says, but my God shall supply all of my need according to his riches and glory by Christ Jesus. And I spoke that out. When I did, it was just like I jabbed that voice. Yeah, but you're not going to make it. And then I said, but my God shall supply all of my need. And I battled that you're not going to make it for about 30 minutes. And finally, you're not going to make it shut up because the word will always shut the enemy up. But see, I had to hold fast my confession and not let him talk me out of it. And then I said, Lord, I want to thank you. I'm going to wake up in the morning at 7 o'clock because they open up at 8. And I'm going to get right over there and put my car right there by the shop and they're going to fix it tomorrow. Hallelujah. At 6 o'clock in the morning, this morning, my eyes opened up and I heard these words. You're not going to make it. I said, you shut up, devil. I'm going to make it. My God supplies almighty. And I answered him again. And went back to sleep and slept till 7. Praise God. Got up, took the car over, had it sitting right there. When they opened the door, I had mine in front of the door. Hallelujah. Didn't have an appointment, but I had them blocked. Praise God. And I told them what's going on. They said, we'll check it. They went in and we walked out. We came back an hour later. The manager came up to us. He said, well, I hate to tell you this, but the rear seal went out and it's got oil leak. And he said, you know, we could fix it, but we can't find the parts. Probably be Monday before we can do this. And I'm supposed to get home so I can watch him run on Saturday. This is Friday morning. We left out on Thursday night. Supposed to already been there. And so I'm standing there and I'm thinking, what am I going to do now? And I heard this, you're not going to make it. And so I thought, you know what? If I can't say anything good, I'm not going to say anything at all. So I just turned around and walked off, left the man standing there. I said, Lord, what am I going to do? He says, go back and ask him if there's anything else you can do. I turn around, walk back and says, is there anything else we can do? Now I put it on him. He takes his hat off, scratches his head, looks at him and said, well, it's already ruined some of the stuff in there. He said, but I guess if we kept oil in the car so it wouldn't burn up the engine, get you home, they could fix it where you're going. I said, brother, put 2 quarts in and give me 2 to go. Hallelujah. And I got in that car and we drove from West Memphis, Arkansas, on the other side of the Mississippi. We drove across. And he said, now about every 70 miles, you need to pull over and check it. because, you know, it'll be running out and then you might have to put some more in it. So I just started praying in the Spirit. And I'm speaking the Word, praying in the Spirit. Went about an hour praying in tongues and worshiping God and speaking the Word. And I thought, well, I got to pull over. So I pulled over, you know, and I was young. We just getting started in this, and God will put up with some things. Even today, He'll put up with some things if we're dealing with something new. Amen. So you don't condemn yourself because, you know, the fig tree's still whispering to you. But I got out. First thing I did, I popped the hood. But I looked underneath to see if any oil was running. There was no oil running. I thought, oh, my God, I done run it dry. Oh, Lord, I done burned the engine up. And so I popped the hood up, pulled the dipstick out, and it was full. Oh, woo, thank you, Jesus. Put it back in, closed the thing. I drove another hour praying in the Holy Ghost, speaking the Word. Popped the hood up this time, didn't look under. Popped the hood up this time, full. Put it down. I did that all the way home from West Memphis, Arkansas to Charleston, West Virginia. Pulled in and got in. Next day went to the track meet, watched my brother run in the state meet. Then on Monday, went down to a dealership, pulled that car in. When I pulled it into the garage area, oil started running out the back of the engine. Now you can believe it or you don't have to believe it. I lived it. Hallelujah. Amen. And because I refused to let the enemy talk me out of believing God, my faith got that car to the dealership in Charleston, and I got to get my brother. In other words, I dealt with the fig tree the way I should so I could move the mountain when I had to. Amen? Don't let a fig tree stop you from moving your mountain. Don't let the disappointment cause you to not be able to do what God's called you to do. Amen? I would challenge you right now as a church. You have great things in front of you and you've got to stand strong. And some of you in here today, you've been letting fig trees talk you out of the things of God. I think today is a good day to pluck some leaves. Amen. And get rid of them. Let's pray. Father, we thank you now and praise you for the Word. Holy Spirit, we thank you for showing yourself mighty and strong. Lord, we just thank you today. And Lord, I believe that right now, as we are waiting